Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part two of your favorite episodes of the things that we talk about, which are the shows that you love, which is Grey's Academy, which is a Grey's Anatomy podcast. I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. We're back. Part two. It's amazing. We're so glad to be here.
Here we are. We are so glad to be here. In season 10. Still can't get over it. Still can't believe it. And we're going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in China Land.
Living in Shondaland! And this episode's segment of Living in Shondaland is brought to you by us. We're so grateful to listen to you talking about us on the internet. Keep doing that. We love seeing those stories. We love hearing about those things. But we also love how much you love to hear us talking about the things that you love. So make sure you tell all your friends, your family, hit that like, subscribe, follow, review button. I have had to turn off notifications recently because I started getting notifications weirdly for the comments on Spotify, but that also made my heart very happy because of seeing comments on Spotify. So keep doing that. I saw that we have a review from Apple that I need to shout out. So I want to actually dedicate this segment of Living in Shondaland as well to one of our favorite listeners. This is from Reading Renbow. Big fan. The title is Hi! ! With 5 stars, and it is obligatory, in quotes, I switched to Apple Podcasts, end quote, review. You two weirdos keep me company during boring shifts at work. Double heart emoji. We're happy to fucking do it.
Yes, so true.
Yes, so this episode of Living in Shondaland is for you, and for all the other listeners, but mostly and only for you.
So true. Also, we got a lot of feedback saying you need to watch The Wizard of Oz.
I know. I will watch it, okay? there's actually probably a better chance of me watching Wizard of Oz before I start watching Private Practice again, only because it's a shorter time commitment. But I will tell you, I paused Wicked every 30 seconds to ask questions to Jessica in the beginning.
Do you think you'll see the second Wicked? The second part of Wicked?
Yeah, in like a year. When it gets onto free streaming, I'll watch it. When it just gets onto streaming, I'll probably just rent it and I'll just do it with Jess. Yeah. It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it. I just... It wasn't something that I felt I was missing because of not having seen The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. That's fine. The thing about Wizard of Oz also is, like, even if you haven't seen it, you know, like, the plot. You know the major things.
I know the red shoes.
You know
shoes,
the ruby slippers, know, the dog, Toto, we're not this, in Kansas anymore. Munchkins, follow the yellow brick road, all that stuff. Like, it's in the zeitgeist enough that it's the references.
I didn't know the Munchkins because my brain goes to Dunkin' Donuts Munchkins. So that one was not one that I was familiar with. And then also the flying monkey things, I didn't get that reference.
That is weird because that's another pretty big one.
It is strange to me
that you didn't know about that one.
But
anyways,
I know.
Okay, Shondaland.
Okay, Shondaland. Okay.
One.
Can you give me, is it a man or a woman?
It is a man.
I am going to guess. Let me look at my notes here, because there wasn't a lot of other interactions with other people because it was mostly from before. Is it obscure?
Yeah.
Is it the guy that Shane asks, can yes. I go jump in and
yes,
help?
That's
and
he who just it goes, is.
Sure. Yes, that is so funny. Ah, that's hilarious.
I thought it would be Heather's mom. She's not in the show, but you know what she is in? Chicago PD.
Oh, nice.
Shout out. Okay. So James McAndrew plays Nate, the firefighter that takes Shane along out to the pile. He was in one episode of How to Get Away with Murder and one episode of Scandal. That's all. Everyone else was previously mentioned in the other episode.
If you said it was a woman, my guess was going to be Heather's mom. She looks like she had a familiar face of sorts.
Yeah, I thought it would have been her, but it wasn't.
Well, my other guess, if it wasn't the, when you said it was obscure and it wasn't the guy who says, yeah, like, come with us, would have been the chief that Alex was like, keep those men from going back into the pile. And he's like, I can't. They love saving lives too much.
Yeah. So true.
That was going to be that guy.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Weber.
Okay. So Meredith is still really fixated on why did he pick me? It must mean something. It must be a secret code for like what he wants me to do. No, Meredith. It's a secret code for please make my medical decision should I become incapacitated. I don't understand why she can, like, yes, it's weird that he didn't tell her, 100%. But, like, she is trying to decipher it like it's hieroglyphics. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
I gotta tell you, though.
It's serious. But, like, just do the job.
Yeah. It's very, what could this possibly mean? It just means he wants you to make the decision. You're right. Yeah. I agree. That scene where Alex, Christina, and Meredith were in the room and they're like, that's so weird. And Alex is like, I bet, like, what if he's your dad? Like, what if, like, you guys are, like, totally related? And then he's like, well, he banged your mom enough to be your dad. Sometimes Alex just, like, the way they made this character, he just says the most off-the-cuff shit, and I love it.
Yeah.
But then I don't remember if it's that scene or a later scene where they're talking about Meredith is Christina's medical proxy.
Yeah.
I imagine that Derek is Meredith's. And then Alex is like, oh, I don't have one because when all the stuff with Izzy blew up, I just never gave the paperwork. So Meredith is like, well, Christina can do it. Well, Christina says Meredith can do it. And then Christina's like, no, I got you. I'll do it. And Alex picks her.
Yeah, I thought
that was
sweet.
Which is kind of a fun scene.
She's like, how long you want me to wait before I unplug you?
Use your best judgment, he says.
I love it. Okay, and then, yeah, I liked that scene a lot. Okay, so Catherine shows up, obviously, which makes perfect sense. Like, her and Richard are involved. She shows up livid. She is coming in hot out of that elevator. She be mad. Jackson's like, it's fine. Everything's fine. You need to calm down. And she's like, what if I didn't? And so she goes in. This is another thing that happens like right off the bat. This is before the title card. She goes into Owen and Miranda's OR and she is screaming at them whilst they are operating and banging on the glass. And she's like, close him. He can't handle this. All this stuff. It's crazy. And they are at a standstill in the surgery, I will say. They have not found the necrotic tissue that Miranda is convinced is there. And so they end up closing him. Again, the whole debate is because he was just, I guess, like his heart is not stable because of the back and forth of the electrocution and then like resuscitating and all of that. So that's kind of where the debate is coming from. And Catherine is mad. She's like, how dare you? You're all fucking idiots. And so Owen is trying to kind of stand up to her and being like, listen, we're working. You got to not be screaming. And she's like, how about I do? And so ultimately they do end up closing him because they can't find anything and because he does need to close. But also, like, Catherine is screaming. Like, they can't. They cannot continue in these, cannot work in these circumstances.
Yeah, yeah.
And so then there's a lot of back and forth. She doesn't want them to go back in. She's mad. She accuses Bailey of doing it to clear her conscience, and she's just doing it because the last thing she said to Richard was that he was a drunk who never did anything for her, all this stuff. And so that's, again, tense. And then it ultimately it ends up that Catherine's like, I want to move him to another hospital. And previous to that, Meredith's like, oh, maybe I'll just let her make all the decisions. And they're like, so just so you know, if you let her do that, she's going to move him. And they're like, oh, maybe we don't do that. Also, Meredith keeps trying to get people to get her a wheelchair. And they keep being like, what if you just stayed in your bed for once? someone does get her one.
You know, she ends post-op. Up
going, yeah, she ends up going to Richard's room and kind of talking to Miranda more about the plan and everything. And I will say, to Jackson's credit, he does kind of shut his mom down. And he's like, they're doing
that
what
was a
needs
really good
done.
Scene,
I
actually.
Thought, yeah, I thought he did a good job kind of handling her with maturity. Oh, also in the scene where they're talking about medical power of attorneys, like Christina and Alex and Meredith. And Meredith says, why are you trying to sell me to him? You didn't even agree with me. And Christina goes, I can respect your opinion and have a different point of view. I am mature. I just loved that moment. I thought that was funny.
But she's not mature enough to just stop fucking Owen.
Never. Never, not once. Well, never. Never, never, never. Anyways, so I thought Jackson did a good job with his mom. And then also Meredith, when she's like, he chose you to be his girlfriend, but he chose me to make these decisions for him. And like, it's great. That's your job, but this is mine. So she's like, we should go back in. So Miranda goes back in, finds dead tissue under the pancreas, or it is the pancreas, one or the other.
It looked like it was the pancreas.
Yeah, that's, I was confused because he was like, oh, behind the pancreas. And then I was like, okay, but is it the pancreas? I don't know. Anyways, so they find the issue.
Looks like you're showing me the pancreas.
And I liked it when Miranda's like, call Meredith Grey and tell her when you know, you know. I thought that moment was sweet. We love
well,
a
yeah, they have
for Miranda.
That moment. When they're looking, like, they're standing next to him, and Bailey's like, man, I just don't know what's going on. Like, I thought for sure I had it. And Meredith's like, okay, well, like, what, like, do you got this, or do we need to let Catherine take over? And that was a cool scene. I like that. And yeah, Bailey gets her win, which she deserves. She deserves a couple strings of wins after she, you know, killed someone.
Okay, she did not kill someone. She killed someone way less than Shane killed someone.
That's fair. She did kill someone less than Shane killed someone.
Yeah. Okay, so there's not, I don't have a whole lot else to say about the Richard and Catherine and Miranda and Meredith of it all, because there's just like a lot of back and forth, and then it finally gets resolved. But Catherine does keep trying to throw fits, and she does keep getting shut down, which I do appreciate. Did you have anything else that you thought was worth mentioning on this storyline before we get into Callie and Arizona?
Awkward. Yeah, there was the thing I like about this storyline with Catherine is when she did call out Bailey. Because I do think that there is some guilt inside of Bailey around how she left things with Richard, which makes sense from a human level. Catherine has a unique way that she will just lash out at anyone and everything when she feels that she's right or wronged in some way. And I do also like that scene where, and then she was like, we talk for an hour every day. You don't think you came up, woman?
Yeah.
But yeah, when Jackson shuts her down and he's like, when like all the kicking and screaming you're doing is actually not helping anything, like shut the fuck up. Those are all really good scenes that I appreciated. The other thing that I need to call out is she uses the word boondoggle, and that is a word that is funny 100% of the time. never going to not call that out. And then Weber wakes up at the end. We get the win. He's alive. They're sitting there arguing about something, and he wakes up. He wakes up, and he at least has eyes that function. We don't know where he's going to be at mentally. He could have a deficit with a scorched brain. But Weber lived. Weber is alive.
Yes. And also, I did think when Catherine, after the surgery, she's like, I want to get a second opinion. And Christina's like, oh, I'm a second opinion. She was right.
Yeah, that's right.
And so that's, yeah, then he wakes up and he's like, I was, the voiceover is like, I was right about this. Which is nice.
Yeah. It is, man, I hope that there, now that he's lived, there's a conversation between him and Meredith, because I need her to stop obsessing about the medical power of attorney.
Why would he do this?
To be fair, she deserves a reason. She deserves a conversation. And quite frankly, maybe deserves a little bit of an apology because of the mental stress that that's putting on a woman who's just had her guts spilled out all over the table and gave birth at the same time.
4 hours postpartum.
So, yeah. With a baby who has the name of a dog. So there's a lot that's happening.
Being very nice.
Okay. I'm done making. That was the last time that I'll make a joke.
That's not true. It was the last time I'll make a joke.
From now on, I'm the pinnacle of seriousness.
Okay. So, Callie in Arizona.
I'm not joking when I say, ooh.
So, Callie doesn't want to stay with Arizona, which is reasonable. So she takes their child and stays somewhere else, which would be more reasonable if she had communicated it to the person who is also totally. Her child's parent.
As opposed to borderline kidnapping.
Yeah. And Arizona calls her a baby snatcher, so fun. The hostility.
Honestly, I would too. If Jessica just took Marlo and ran away and didn't say where and wouldn't answer the phone, I would be like, I'm calling the cops after the second call.
Honestly, it's not terribly unreasonable, the reaction that is portrayed, because
that is why we have Amber Alerts, folks.
Yeah. And you cannot unilaterally just make that decision. And then Callie, listen, I'm really on Callie's side, like 98%.
Yeah, for everything else. Everything else of this, I'm on Callie's side.
Because I don't like that she did that without telling Arizona. And I don't like that she then, when they're having the argument, is like, you didn't even want a kid. Because that's fucked up.
Mm.
Because, yeah, that was true. And that's not been the case since well before Sophia was born. And Sophia knows Arizona as one of her mothers, and that is the reality. And you cannot just like to say that. I mean, this is one of those arguments where, like, because it's the hurting people hurt people, and so like Callie is as hurt as she can be, so she's gonna lash out and say terrible things, and that's why she says that.
And I can't remember in that scene when she says that, was Sophia in her arms, or was that
when Derek had the porch girls outside? Derek. Yeah.
Because that moment leading up to when Arizona comes in and is like, I just want 5 minutes with Sophia. I miss her so much. And Callie's being kind of like, you guys haven't gone to court. There's no arrangement. This is like, I don't know. I have not been in the cheated situation. And this is the second time now that Callie has. And another thing. That moment where she's telling Derek, like, she's like, everyone that I marry either cheats on me or cheats on me and dies. And I'm like, well, that's a fair track record. You're overgeneralizing, but you're not wrong.
Yeah. Well, it is funny when Callie's drunk and she's like sobbing at Derek. And Derek's probably I'm so fucking tired.
And I have to go tell Heather's mom that she's dead. So, like, can we wrap this up, please?
Yeah, just lock it in. So, The when, here's my thing about when Arizona shows up and she just is like, I just want to see her for 5 minutes. And Callie's like, no. Honestly, I would be more on Callie's side if Sophia wasn't in the room. Because she's now seen it, seen Arizona, yeah. I do think it's more difficult. If Sophia had not seen Arizona, I would be more on Callie's side of Callie being like, we need to stick to this schedule to make it easier for her to do this transition. But once she's seen her, I don't think it's fair, because then to a baby, that's just like, why is my parent ignoring me? Or like, why am I not getting acknowledged by one of my caregivers?
And so, how old are we being led to believe like that Sophia is in the scene? Yeah,
I think she's like a year old.
Even Zola looks like a 4-year-old. Yeah, and that
Well, no, Zola she's is like because two, Zola right? was two or th- two. I think Zola was like 2 when they adopted her. So she would be 3.
Really?
3 or 4 now.
How do I always forget this like... The problem is that this is not linear time in this show. I have such a hard time with that.
But yeah, I think Sophia is supposed to be between 1 and 2. And that they're like, look at this 10-year-old. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. mostly on Callie's side. Like, so much. I'm like, take your space. Take Sophia with you. Stay with Meredith. Just communicate that. And also communicate the expectations. Yeah. Don't put Meredith in this spot of having to be the one that tells Arizona. Also, like, you need to tell Arizona, I need space. I don't want to see you, so don't come over here. And then, like, I am with Christina as well on the, when she kind of steps in and she's like, 5 minutes. Again, only because Sophia is there. So it's Sophia's in Callie's arms. And I think that Christina's trying to de-escalate the situation because she does recognize that it is going to hurt Sophia.
Yeah, the only one who gets hurt by that particular situation is the kid.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I shouldn't say the only person. There's already been hurt from the parent side. At this point now, then the onus goes from the parent to have to protect the kids.
Yeah.
But
obviously, it's a complicated situation that we have not
very complicated. I don't know what Meredith was thinking when she told Arizona where Callie was. Like, and she's like, and I know you're not going to rush over to my house and go get her. What the fuck do you think is going to happen, Meredith?
I think Meredith could have been like, just so you know, we know where Callie and Sophia are and they are safe. They're not. She did not flee the country. She's not even leaving the city. Just know that they're fine and we know where they are. If you really feel like you need to reassure this person about where their kid are, which is a fair thing to feel as a parent.
Yep.
I just think, yeah, it was very naive of her to be like, well, I'll just nothing will happen.
Well, and then when Christina's like, this is my I told you so face. Like,
she goes, is I told you so inappropriate? Me.
Literally me.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It's like, okay, that was dumb, Meredith. You know what? I'm going to give it to you because you're 5 minutes postpartum.
That is also a good reminder because she's been postpartum as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe she's even still on drugs.
Maybe the baby's still inside of her and this is a fake baby. Someone else's baby.
So, excuse me. I think, yeah, I definitely agree with you. I'm like, how did she not think that that's what, like, these people are so heated in this moment and, like, with what all's going on. Like, why did you think anything else would have been the result of that? Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and you know, I gotta shout out my boy. Great Derek episode.
Yeah, good, like, Derek episode. Really, good Jackson episode, I thought.
Derek's trying to save a life. Failed. So he's like, let me start younger. Let me start trying to save these kids' lives from trauma. Let me start a marriage. Yeah, let me just go ahead and do the other things. So, I like the way he handled it. I do think that, I gotta tell you, it was a little bit of a gut-wrenching scene watching Arizona cry and tell Sophia that, you know, she loved her and it was outside. And also that baby, like, looked away. The baby did not look interested at all in that scene.
1 year old.
Like, yeah, but like, shit. At 1 year old, Marlo, I think, definitely, you know, cared about me, but she's using full sentences.
I don't think she doesn't care about her.
I mean, at the end of the day,
she has the ability to have empathy yet.
little baby actors.
I think all sad. It's definitely hard. I obviously we are not in co-parenting relationships. We just co-parent with our spouses who we're married to. I said something and I was like, technically, Michael, we do co-parent. And he's like, I don't think you're using that term correctly. I'm like, well, am I though? Because we do parent together.
Yeah, we are co-parenting.
We are still with the parents of our children. So we can only speak so much on what like that separation aspect would feel like. I cannot imagine like having to constantly like split time away from my kid. Like it's just, I know it's very common and people figure it out. And I think that it's admirable to find that like middle ground to be able to be there for your kids.
You know what else is tough on that though, too? Like, think about how often, well, actually, I don't know how often this happens for you or Michael, but like Jess and I find ourselves a couple of times a week, more often, well, like once or twice a week, more often Jess than I am, but where she will have to do all of the solo parent duties with Marlo.
Yeah.
And the thing is that extent is just picking her up from school, doing the feeding, and then like doing the bedtime routine. At the end of that, I'll be home. I don't go forever. And also, it's thinking about when you have custody and you're doing this like arrangement. Number one, separations and divorce is tough on the kids because of the whiplash of having to go from these broken homes to broken homes. But the stress on the parents is tough. Like you're been your solo parent the whole time.
Yeah. And I think people talk about like, oh, it's hard on the kids, and it is, but you have to step back and be like, but is it better than constantly seeing both your parents at each other's throat? And obviously, and like every situation is different. That you don't know because you did just have to see it. So
Yeah.
So but yeah, it's obviously like we're not trying to speak out of turn because we don't really know. So it's really just what we have our versions of experience and then like what we are living as parents. But I think this portrayal of like the initial hurt and the early on, like trying to sort through it all, I think they do a good job with that.
I agree.
Who else does a good job? Completely. Not capitalism, but we will have a break for them anyway. If you're listening to this podcast, it means, like us, you also have a true appreciation for medical dramas and primetime TV procedurals.
And that's why we want to tell you about a podcast that you should check out. It's called the One Chicago Podcast, and it's the official exclusive behind-the-scenes look at some of the most iconic TV series on right now, including Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, and Chicago Med. The podcast comes from the series creators themselves, Wolf Entertainment, the folks also behind Law & Order.
Each episode joins host and former Chicago cop turned Chicago PD producer Brian Lucci as he's joined by the actors, producers, and writers behind the epic One Chicago universe, including a chat with the showrunner of Chicago Med, Alan McDonald, about what it really takes to keep a medical procedural show as real as possible.
Now, we checked out a few episodes of the One Chicago podcast, and here's what we thought. No spoilies! You've heard it, you know it. Listen to the One Chicago Podcast. Search for One Chicago Podcast in your podcast app. That's One Chicago Podcast.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Okay, we're back. And did you have anything else on Cali and Arizona before we kind of predict and rate some stuff?
The only other thing, well, I think we should just wrap. There's like a couple small like loose ends on the mudslide storyline. I think I want to wrap up. But overall, there was that scene where before Meredith told Arizona where Kelly was at, where she's like trying to make up a fake 911 patient to get a page to Kelly to come in. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously she doesn't know that Kelly's sitting there drunk, but she couldn't come in anyways. But the only cliffhanger with this is basically there's no resolution to it. Kelly wants kind of this indefinite schedule. There's no end to it that we can see or that we know of. And she doesn't know when the end of it is. So that's kind of interesting. She's not saying divorce, but she's also not saying divorce.
Yeah.
So minor things that I want to call out with like just wrapping up loose ends. Bailey has that moment where she calls Ben.
Yes.
And says that Weber lived, which is like very, apparently they've been trying to get a hold of each other. So that's nice. The mudslide. So yeah, they're doing this. There's a storyline where they keep going back and they're trying to figure out because the guys who gave blood are then just going back out and trying to find more people.
Yeah.
And that's obviously frustrating for Alex. And in that situation, we get this kind of resolution with the Sharpie lady where, mm-hmm. she lives on the hill, her house is gone, and there's this community of people that rebuild their houses every time, which is very interesting, because Steph is like, well, why don't you just fucking move? And she's like, well, who else would have me? I don't know if that's
literally any other neighborhood.
Like, yeah. So, but you live in the mountain area. So, I mean, how often are these houses getting destroyed from mudslides? I mean, is it really that often?
I mean, well, not houses, but we have had a couple of roads wash away on the mountains here.
Okay.
So they're not like our mountains are not lone houses on the sides of mountains. Like our mountains are very much like a lot of people live on the mountains here.
Because
we have older round mountains. Because just like to my understanding, the mountains here that exist in this side of the country are just older mountains than the mountains, like the Rocky Mountains. The Smoky Mountains are older, which is why they're not like the pointy mountains. They're the rounded mountains because there's just a bit because more of time erosion for them to be rounded by wear and tear of earth. So
yeah,
ours are just very like there's always like they're the people have lived on the mountains for as long as Chattanooga has been around. So
love it,
but sometimes the roads wash away and it stresses me out.
And then I think the only other thing, there was a moment that I thought was kind of funny that I wanted to call out when Shane's like, you know, going to run into the mudslide and Steph's like, he's our person. We need to all stick together. And the way that Leah and Joe just tilt their heads at the same time, looking at her like she's crazy, was very funny.
Yeah.
So
also when Callie is drunk and says everyone I love on me either cheats on me or dies, and then she's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, you should be drinking because Heather died, and she's like, why is everything so horrible? I just think that's so funny. And then is I told you so inappropriate, that was also funny. Yeah, I thought great Jackson episode, and a good
great Jackson
and a good Derek episode as well. Okay, shall we rate it as a whole with the first one? Because we didn't rate the first one.
Yes. You go first.
I'm going to say together, I will give them a 4.2. Because I think they're great. There are things that really annoy the ever-loving Dookie out of me. Mostly Christina and Owen. But there's a lot of really funny things that happen in the midst of all of this, like, really stressful stuff and really, like, chaotic and sad stuff. There are funny things. There's obviously, like, story building going, like, what's going to happen with Kelly in Arizona? You know, what's going to happen with Shane and the interns and all this stuff. But I think for a two-part season premiere, I think it's pretty solid. I think a 4.2.
I'm glad I really needed you to go first because I didn't want to give this a 5. And I would have felt bad not giving it a 5 if you were so yearning to give it a 5.
No.
I'm giving it a 4.5, though.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff in the episode. I think it created more suspense for me with them being a 2-part episode. Having kind of the end of episode 1 where Derek was having to almost do a lobectomy. Mm-hmm. On Heather, and then it turns out that she just dies.
Yeah.
I actually think I rather would have had her die than to deal with like
the fallout
of her having extreme deficits.
Like,
and
it
how
sounds terrible, but like I do kind of think like it would be harder if they drug it out that way for everyone to like watch her. Like,
yeah,
when you have something like that, it's just like there's not, you don't like, I don't know. It sounds mean to be like,
it's hard to come out of
all
that.
But I kind of think that's, I think having her die is a better story choice.
And I think she's in a better place.
So it's not sad.
So it's not sad at all. So Shane, stop being a little wimp. Kidding. So yeah. And then what would you like me to predict?
Okay. You did say that you think maybe Shane will tell somebody.
Yeah, I do. I think that Shane is going to tell. I just don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know what is going to cause Shane to tell. That's the part where I'm at right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Hold on. I'm making 2 predictions. Either there's going to be something big that rattles Shane and he tells them within the next 3 episodes, or Shane dies in the mud pile and in his final breath, he confesses it to Joe.
Okay. And then I was going to ask, what do you think like Richard's recovery is going to look like? Do you think he's just back up and at him next episode? Do you think there's any kind of like lag?
No, he's going to have to go through a recovery period. It's not going to be cognitive. I don't think like Derek was never involved. They never had any signs of neurological mm-hmm. impairment. And I don't know enough about electric wounds, but it seems like most of those are pretty full recoveries.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be just, you know, maybe he's on a special medicine or a special diet or a bag of something that does stuff that his pancreas is going to do. Did they take the pancreas out? Did they partially resect
it?
I don't really know
what they did, but they fixed it.
You know, so, but yeah. So that's, I think, part of the issue too, is we really don't know what they did. They found the tissue, they got super excited, and then they kind of cut away to yelling. So
yeah,
I think that he will be back in surgery soon.
Okay. Meredith and Derek and Zola and baby Bailey. Just like that transition.
Everything's going to be perfect and beautiful and awesome. Okay. They deserve a win. The drama needs to not be focused on the Gray Shepherd household for a while.
All right. Callie in Arizona.
This one is hard. I have no idea. I actually don't even know that I want, as a viewer, for them to stay together. Especially because, like, Callie's been through it. She's been through the ringer. She's been cheated on twice now by her spouses. Like, and she can't even say men always do this because both a man and a woman that she's been married to have done it. So she's in a tough spot. So I think I want to see them try to work it out and stay together for the sake of Sophia. Full well knowing that that would not be what I would do with my life if I was cheated on. So who knows?
When we say for the sake of the child, what we mean is only if it's a good and loving relationship and a healthy, modeled relationship for the child. So unless they can recover to the point where they are back to healthy, loving, good parenting, good like relationship, then they need not stay together.
Right. But in the immortal words of Blink-182, stay together for the kids.
Oh, that's where you get your advice. I guess that tracks. And then
there's especially the song that's just, you know, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cock, sucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat. That's where I get all my advice.
Classic.
From. It's deep. Yeah.
the classic musical number. So, April Jackson Matthew.
Is it bad to say I actually don't give a shit about this storyline?
It's not.
I, like, Jackson said his piece. I don't think that Jackson should be with Steph. I don't know that he actually loves her or if it's convenience. They've spent so little time together since the bar where she's like, I deserve more. And he's like, yes, let me kiss you. I don't know. But Matthew also deserves someone who's not going to be like, you have to understand. He saved a child from a burning bus.
You have to understand I do love someone else, but I will marry
you.
I don't think you do have to understand that.
what I am hopeful in this scenario is both is all three of them, Matthew, Jackson, and April, all end up single. And they get to work on themselves. I think they all just need to do a little bit of therapy and soul searching, you know?
Soul searching, yeah, I agree with that. A little internal digging.
April needs some internal digging.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else you want to predict?
Let's see. I want to predict that starting next episode, Owen and Christina will actually officially be done with each other. They got the smushing out of their systems. they smushed it out.
They can smush it down is what they can do. Smush your feelings down.
Smush it. Smush your feelings down with sex.
No, without it.
Oh, that's right. You know what's gonna happen though? I'm gonna make an off the cuff prediction of a return character from the show.
Go for it.
With the potential of the breakup or the resolution, I am going to call Han and Lauren to the stand. They're both going to be back at the same time in the same episode.
Maybe they can get together.
Maybe all four of them just, you know.
Oh, it's been a while. That prediction.
Well, we need more foursomes in this show. This show is severely lacking foursomes.
It doesn't have them, but I don't know if it's really like needing them.
Didn't we had a threesome though, right?
No. We have predicting threesomes every fucking moment of the first like five seasons of this podcast.
I really got different vibes on what this show was going to be. I think I feel like I'm in a bait and switch.
Got different vibes on what I thought this network television show was going to be.
When I hear drama, I hear orgies. Porn. I don't know about you. The porn drama. You know what I love seeing on comments on like Facebook or Instagram or like just reels in general is when it's something that is people being normal, but it's overtly sexual in like an unprompted way. And then I go and I like looking at the comments of people, and very often there is someone at the top of the comments with a lot of likes that says, I usually skip this part. And I feel like that's what the first season of Grey's was. It was me just skipping it because season two was going to be just a whole gigantic orgy.
And then it was
just the whole hospital turning patients away. When Weber's like, we got to be level one trauma. He's talking about the work that everyone's doing on each other's genitals. That's what's happening.
I don't know how we've gotten here. And I would like to apologize on Carmen's behalf.
I would like
thank
to
you guys
retract
so
that
much
on
for
Kelsey's
sitting here
behalf.
For 10 seasons while we do this shit.
I should stop predicting. I should just watch the show and do my job.
Oh my God. Just watch the show you're talking about.
What is she hiding? She hasn't, they haven't reviewed their stuff and
they haven't updated their review.
Yeah.
Well guys, thank you so much for sitting with us another episode while we chat about everything Grey's and everything not Grey's. Gotta cut a little short this one because I gotta go parent some children. But the other one was a little longer, so hopefully then we get it almost even for you. But we appreciate
We are also gonna everybody. Try to for our Patreon listeners to do a cold open. We did not do one for this. We're gonna try to we didn't do one as of right now. So if you're listening to this and you've gotten a cold open and you're going, that's weird, it's because we found the time
to
do
it. We did it out of order.
Yeah.
But yes, if you're considering joining our Patreon. We have some cold open content on there. We have some random not Grays related content on there. We have some fan fiction by the one and only Alicia on there. So check that out if you are so inclined. You can go to graysacademypod.com and you can find the links to Patreon. You can find the links to our socials. You can find the links to all the things. You can follow us everywhere. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com and I will talk to you and respond to you. You can reach out on Instagram and I will respond to you there as long as Instagram doesn't hide it from me. We loved seeing all the Spotify Wraps. That's so cool.
It's hell yeah.
The best. It's so neat. Thank you guys for sharing those with us. Thank you guys for sharing us with other people. It's how people find us. And we have had a couple people say that they found us within the last year, but they're already caught up. And so we have a lot of content out for people to consume. So if you know someone who's like, oh man, I got a long drive ahead of me. Do you guys have any good podcast suggestions? You can always suggest this one. Oh, do you
and
have
if
a
you're catching up
24-day drive?
You can
listen to this podcast.
If you're getting caught up at the rate at some of the you know, it's impressive. It's a level of commitment that I
you don't have.
I yearn for. Except I will tell you that I have it
for it.
No, I gotta tell you, I have it for the bear. We're in season three now.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Is Richie my favorite character?
Talk about character development. Talk about character development, Richie.
And is Carmi on a villain arc? What is happening right now? I am, man, who knows? Goodness. All right. Anyways, everybody. Sorry. Okay. That's the next podcast.
All right.
Oh, well, we've both seen it. I guess we can't do that.
Well, thank you guys so much for watching, for listening, for loving, for supporting, for sharing. We love you all so much. We hope everyone is staying warm in these cold-ish December months, depending on where you live. But we hope everyone is having a not stressful holiday season. And we will see you all next week. And if you see Carmen, the gift that you can give him for Christmas is
no spoilies. We do appreciate you all so, so much. And we will see you all in the next one.